Visiting this morning with Mark McNeese, the fire chief of the Atlantic Volunteer Fire Department. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's spring. Everybody gets excited. Everybody wants to clean up their little plot in the earth, but probably not the best time right now to be doing it if you're thinking about burning, huh?
Yeah, everybody does. The biggest problem this time of year is it's still dry out there, even though things are starting to green up. There's a lot of fuel out there from last fall, and the problem is people think it's wet, and it's fine. It's not going to spread, but it still will race across the top of the ground in a hurry, and then we have a problem getting to it.
We just had snow a few days ago. how can it possibly be dry, right?
Well, yeah, and that is, you know, we tried to do some prescribed burns and do some for CRP lands and are working on a program with that, and we still have a problem even lighting it sometime and getting it to go. However, winds like we've been having and the conditions that they are, and we're kind of on the edge of it. A little bit north of here and west of here is much drier than it is here, but it's only going to take a little bit of this weather we're having, and it's going to be a tinderbox here too.
Absolutely. How frustrating is it for you guys to get those calls? And because you never really know for sure in these types of fires, outdoor burns like that, really what you're getting yourself into.
Well, it is. It's tough when you don't have knowledge of it ahead of time and are responding, because it can go so quickly. And the frustrating part is, you know, trying to get there to figure out how fast it's going, where it's going, and then when you're there to try to find entrances to fields, to, you know, gates that are locked, who's close that might have a tractor and a disc that we can get out there. You know, that's one of the best firefighting tools on a field fire that we have.
Where the water is.
Well, we're bringing some of that, but, you know, it's do we need mutual aid? How fast is this going? Do we need to alert Anita, Wyota, Marnie? You know, which way is it heading? And for mutual aid, you know, we had a big one there right off 71 last year. We had four or five departments up there on a day I've never fought wildfire on like that, with 50, 55 mile an hour wind gusts. And it was incredible. They're very tough. You know, everybody hears this, oh, it's a grass fire, it's a field fire, it's not that big a deal. It's like, well, they are a big deal. You know, a few years ago proved that over west here. And just yesterday, few days ago, they started down in Taylor County and went up into Montgomery County, and, you know, they get out of control pretty quickly.
And it's not just things that would be in the way, that, you know, trees, shrubs, maybe houses, things like that. People. Equipment, trucks. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get trucks out to where you need to in some of these locations. And although the ground on top might be dry, the grass and what have you that's there underneath might be a little damp and soggy, and you don't get the greatest attraction when you're sinking in.
No, and we almost lost a truck a couple of years ago. We're plenty far from where the fire was, just trying to go, and it got stuck, and things changed. The next thing you know, we're trying to protect a $100,000 vehicle here that it doesn't burn up, and that happens. You know, people get caught out in there, and things change. And it does make it difficult. And even, you know, once we get the frost out, it could be dry up top, like you said, but then you sink in the frost. You know, the farmers know that. They've got their areas in the fields they can't get to. So it is dangerous, and that's another frustrating part of it, is trying to get out to some of these areas. And if it gets down into the creek and riverbed areas, then we're into brush and trees, and then you're there for hours trying to put it out so it doesn't flare back up. So they become, and you mentioned, you know, people in the road, and unfortunately, statistics show that most of the deaths, and there are several of them, are usually an older male that has gone out in the field, maybe hasn't told anybody, you know, he's going to go burn a brush pile, burn off a terrace or whatever. For whatever reason, something happens, and they are the highest number of deaths in the state from, you know, just going out to burn off something they've probably done for 50 years. But it's dangerous.
Yeah, you just don't know. I was reading some statistical data the other day, and it was just kind of an outline of, here's what it's like to be out in a grass fire type situation. The flames can burn this high, they can move this quickly when the wind is blowing, so you can kind of get an idea of how fast things can happen around you. Do you guys formulate those kinds of things when you first show up on scene?
Oh yeah, we're taking into consideration, you know, the wind speed and where it's going and the fuel load that you have, whether it's going to get into down into some CRP land, or, you know, are we talking a low grass, or are we talking field stubble? I'm always kind of surprised. It's amusing a little bit to see some of the newer guys the first couple of times they're out on one, and to really get a grasp of that heat the first time they're close, or to see them get themselves closer than they imagine, and you know, flames are rolling over your head or rolling over a truck, and there's some white eyes out there, and until you get a little seasoned at it and realize that, you know, we've got to attack this, whether it's a back burn, whether we can get ahead of it, a disc. There's all sorts of different ways we can fight it, but the time frame, that's why it's nice. You know, we haven't instituted very many bans here, burn bans, and the way we do it in Cass County, as they do most of them, Mike Kennan usually polls everybody and asks if, you know, the fire chiefs, if we want to do one. And I have been a break on it the last few years. I'd rather try to manage it a little bit more and, you know, give people the opportunity to do it, but have them contact us and contact their local chief or their department. And, you know, we can talk with them and find out what they've got, what they've done, and give them some heads up and some tips on how to keep it from getting out of control. And then if they're going to do it, you know, let us know. So we let the comm center know. So if they start getting 40 calls from passersby on the road, we know that's what it is. And, you know, and then we can make sure we tell them, hey, if this gets out of control, you call back in and say, this was controlled, but now it's out of control. You know, if we have advised against them, probably not going to be very happy that you went ahead and did it. But, you know, we saw quite a decline last year in the amount of field fires and grass fires around here. And I just think that's part of it is the education and part of people being much better saying, you know, maybe it's a good idea, or I've got this. Can I do it? Should I do it? You know, just I know they want to get in the field. They want to get some stuff out of the road now. It's just better, you know, it's better if it can be done in the winter when there's snow all around it. But I know things need to be done and want to be done. But, you know, it should be nice, and it works better if we have an idea on it, or even sometimes can come help if they want to do a prescribed burn, if they have CRP ground that, you know, we are now doing a program where we'll go out and do that. So, you know, it's to me, I'd rather, instead of doing a ban, unless it's like 2012 where it's just so dry that everything is a bad idea, you know, then we'll institute it. But then it becomes much more of a process to have a fire, and then you can get fined, and it gets more serious then.
Yeah. Well, I know every situation you guys walk into, it can potentially be life-threatening and very mm-hmm. dangerous situations. And I know you do a tremendous amount of training with firefighters, and a lot of time is spent with that. But you know, most of that time when you get an opportunity to train, it's probably structure fires, which aren't necessarily any easier, but they're a different breed of cat. It's mm-hmm. it's a whole lot different thing when you go out to fight something that could be moving around so rapidly, and maybe right. you don't have quite as much actual experience in working with if you're a new firefighter.
Right, and exactly. They don't have it, and that's where you can get into trouble, because you're not only fighting the characteristics of the fire, but you're fighting Mother Nature in many different aspects, just the fuel loads and the winds and the condition, humidity, you know, how things are going to go during that day. So, you know, it's a lot to take into consideration. The nice thing is, since we started this, Anita has been doing a couple of years, like I said, mentioned these CRP burns where people have to do these prescribed burns. And we have just started doing that. What that allows then is more planning and tactics and training for these guys, so we can actually go out, do it. They get a little more experience at it, but then we can also, you know, show them the tactics we want to use to try to fight one, whether it's a back burn, you know. Of course, on those, we can go out and prepare things and try to control it, but, you know, show them different ways and give them an experience that otherwise you just get a trial by fire out there, and that's a good learning experience, but that also can be very dangerous and costly in many ways.
And I think a lot of people have, if nothing else, they've probably seen at some point in their lives firefighters working on a blaze, probably perhaps, say, in a structure. Well, you can pour water on something there. Sometimes when you're out fighting a brush fire or a grass fire, you might be pouring water, but you might not be pouring on stuff that's actually burning, trying right. to stop things from happening, too. So, I mean, you just go about it so much differently. So let's just avoid it altogether.
If we can avoid it, it's the best. Because, and like you said, it's no different than a structure fire. You can, you know, you've got overhaul where you have to do because you got yeah. flare-ups. But, you know, you can knock down and get a quick knockdown, and by time, depending on the conditions, you can get back to really mop it up. It can flare up again and take off on you again. So it's a whole different beast when you're doing it, and it's something that, you know, we've been pretty fortunate around here. We haven't had any really huge ones, but, you know, it gets into the thing I tell people is when they call in and say, oh, heck, you know, I can do this, or we've had some where, you know, maybe they had a little in the summer, they were burning by a barn, their own little shed, but, you know, right next door is somebody's corn crop, and it's dry, you know, and once you explain to them, it's like, you know, if you intentionally light a match, and it gets out of control, and it burns down your neighbor's barn or vehicles or whatever, or their field of corn, guess who's liable? You know, And that usually puts the brakes and makes people think a little bit more. It's like, you know, if it's unintentional, if you're out in the field and something sparks off your equipment, well, that's no big deal. But if somebody knows you were intentionally burning and you started this, even if it's accidental, the one over that started over by Carson and Trainer there a few years ago was, you know, was a stump that a guy had been burning a week ahead of time, yet still he ended up being liable for a lot of millions of dollars of damage. So, you know, it's, and insurance companies are, you know, they don't want to pay. They're going to look for somebody to go after. So it's, you got to think, you light that match intentionally, what are the consequences potentially out of this?
You bet. So if they're not sure, make that phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd be glad to talk, you know, if there's somebody 24 hours a day at our non-emergency number at 2146 here in Atlantic, but I know all the other chiefs around are, you know, that they're glad to talk to you or somebody on their department if they're not around, you know, will be assigned to do it, you know, to advise and not necessarily give consent, but make sure that it's being done as safely and as controlled as possible and, you know, and maybe, you know, wait a day or two, see what the forecast is. I know you're in a hurry and we want to get things done, but sometimes just being patient, and I'm not good at that, but sometimes you have to.
Yeah, I know it's nice now. We're not full on into spring yet. No, we might see a lot more snow before this is over, too. So there's plenty of opportunity out there for right now, but it is always windy in the spring for the most part. So be aware of those conditions out there and do it safely. Mark, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Appreciate it.